Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Smooth Drama. All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. Must stay consistent. I hate the N-word. And if you want to indulge in hating the N-word with me, feel free to break me off a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, give me a call, 646-929-2037, call-in number. I know some of y'all are shy. You're a little too afraid to stalk me over the phone. You don't want the whole world to know. So if you want to be private about your stalking, feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and I will accept your stalkage. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, just want to shoot the breeze with me. DickAtSmoothDrama.com. Also, speaking on shooting the breeze with me, I'm on the social network, so you can add me on Facebook, Twitter, tag MySpace. So on Facebook, tagged in MySpace, I am Dick Hugger. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am Smooth Drama. Hit me up. I am very, very sociable. I will socialize, I socialize with the best of them. So, holler at me. And I guarantee I will holler back. And plus, we can have a little fun. I like to have a little fun online from time to time. And speaking of online, I can't let this go. I got to keep riding on this story. Taco Bell. I talked about how they were being sued because they weren't compliant in the 40% beef that they had to have. They only had like 30% beef or something like that, some crazy low number, and they came back the next week with, hey, you know what? Thank y'all for y'all support. We'll get you a free taco. And I guess that wasn't enough. So Taco Bell came back with yet another commercial and promotion. This time, they say you can get you a little taco, burrito, whatever, beef, 88 cents. And they're saying that it's 88% beef and the other 12% is special recipe. And if you would like to know what that special recipe is, you can go to their website. Now, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, and I'm not saying I got something against Taco Bell. I mean, I don't even eat beef, so it really doesn't affect me either way. I just know I don't have no plans to go to Taco Bell any time soon. But the fact that now they're campaigning that we have 88% beef and the other 12% is special recipe, I don't know. I can't be down with if it ain't 100%. I don't know about anybody else, but that you got a percentage on it. What is 88% beef? What is that? I don't know. How do you qualify what the percentage is? I couldn't qualify it when it was 40-some%. Now they're saying, well, we upped it. We gave you another 40-some%, and now we have 88% beef, which scared the hell out of me. Out of the other fast food, are we getting 100% chicken? I mean, are we getting 100% pork? Not that I eat any of that, but The point is, it raises those questions like Taco Bell is bragging like we raising the ante. We giving out 88%. Like, shouldn't we expect 100% or something? If they say that's what it is, shouldn't it that be what it is? I don't have to guess. I shouldn't have to go to the website to see what the special recipe is for the other 12% or whatever the hell I'm eating. Yep. Just a thought. Just putting it out there. Speaking of something that's out there, being basketball fan that I am, read that BYU suspended player on their team that forward because he had sex. I was quite frankly shocked and amazed that that it happened, but at the same time, BYU is one of those private schools, and according to their bylaws, you can't have premarital sex, you can't drink tea or coffee, none of that. That's the rule that you have to go by. And young man, I guess he came out and told them that, yes, I had sex, and he was suspended. Now, I read some of the comments from some other folks. People post comments, they're talking about, BYU messed themselves up for their Final Four run, blah, blah, blah. Other folks were talking about BYU was racist because he just happened to be a black guy on the team. Other folks with the comments, black Mormons, what is that? And I'm like, well, whether he was Mormon or not, it doesn't really matter. It was a form that he signed as an informed so-called adult. I know it, for some folks it may seem unfair, but it wasn't like he or his parents were blindsided by this. This is something that, I guess, you go to BYU, it's up front, you have to sign that contract and you have to live by those rules. Of course, if he wanted to fornicate, there's hundreds of universities he could have went to get his fornication on. Maybe he should have chosen one of them. I don't know. Anyway, I just know one thing. BYU is supposed to be moving into the Pac-10. I think they're going to be an independent in football. They're going to be in the Pac-10 in basketball. And I'm like, I don't see them being successful. You have no shot. Obviously, recruiting-wise, you can hear the recruiters now like, man, if you go to BYU, you can't have sex. Sexual relations is out of the question for 4 years. Somehow I can see that as a deterrent. College kids, shit. Not even college kids, grown folks. But that's just me. But to me, I was reading all of this, and people were making a big story out of it, and I was like, it's not really that big of a story. I just think he knew what it was. He made a mistake, and he's gone. Hopefully he'll learn his lesson. You want to fornicate, you got to go to a place where they allow fornication. Am I advocating fornication? Anyway. Speaking of advocating, I was also looking because I seen that was something that was a huge story, but there was a story that was out there that nobody touched on, nobody talked about. Number one story this summer, basketball-wise, the decision, LeBron James, and how I'm taking my talents to South Beach, and everybody was calling him traitor, no good, he's a sucker, blah, blah, and some other words that I could say on the air, but it doesn't matter. We all know what went down. Anyway, what people never focus on, which was the most important thing he did that day and he carried through on this week, was he did the show and all the money, the $3 million, was raised for charity. So what happens with part of that money? Well, he rolled out through his LeBron James Family Foundation 1,000 new computers that are going to go to 59 different boys and girls clubs nationwide. At the Miami Club, the roof is getting replaced and workspaces for kids are being fixed up. The new furniture from the home court line that LeBron James and his girlfriend designed. And so I look at that as the decision to show was a success. And I'm like, where's the press? I have not seen anybody on SportsCenter. And there's not a lot of people talking about it, giving him his props for that. And I think that was one of the greatest things that happened this year. I mean, we talk about sports figures, and, you know, we all get it caught up in the vacuum about sports figures and how they're not intelligent and how they're always doing something unintelligent. But when they do something good like this, even something that supposedly was a negative and it was, what do they call it, a media nightmare for LeBron, I don't see it as such. Hey, there's some kids who would disagree. Boys and girls clubs being refurbished, getting new computers so that they can have avenues to express themselves. That's the story. That was the number one story, and that the hell with the decision. He had the right to go wherever the hell he wants. Not that it looked like they're gonna win the title this year, but that's a whole other story. Still, why we don't laud the young man for the $3 million that he got and what he's doing with the money to help individuals less fortunate, give kids a chance. I'm not hearing folks out there propping him up, and you wonder why. I mean, you know, they talk about all this loyalty. I think Kendrick Perkins, formerly of the Boston Celtics, who was traded just last week, blindsided by the Celtics, you may say, he could probably argue there's no such thing as loyalty. I mean, we know there ain't no love. If you're not performing the way they want you to perform, bringing in the money, what do they do? They get rid of your ass. So for players to do the same and want to get out, more power to them. That's what free agency is all about. And those people who are hating, you're a lying ass hypocrite. Because if somebody offered you $2 more an hour at a different job, your ass is out. Everything that loyalty, man, come on, get out of here. How loyal is big business to us, the little guy? So you got to look at it at them terms. Anyway, speaking of loyalty, Donald Sterling. Those you don't know, Donald Sterling is the owner of the Clippers. And I guess in his head, he's doing a great thing because he put out an ad, the Clippers celebrate Black History Month. So, and what it was saying is, in the honor of Black History Month, the Clippers will admit 1,000 underprivileged children for free. You know, I guess cool. The only problem is the date of the Black History Month giveaway is, well, not is, was yesterday, March the 2nd, against Houston. Now, I don't know. I know he's got to have some level of intelligence. He is a billionaire, although being born wealthy or whatnot doesn't necessarily make you a smart individual. I'm not going to profess to know how he got his fortune and really don't give a damn. And, I mean, not that I really care too much about Black History Month, because I'm of the opinion that, you know, there shouldn't even be a Black History Month. It should be just part of history. Like, our history is separate. It didn't go on along the same lines as other parts of history. No. You know, until we start talking about it as just history and not just quote-unquote Black history, you know, you saying that, you know, they, like, pets, animals, pat me on the head. Hey, here's your Black History Month. No. My history spans the millennia, and it is not exclusive to the month of Frederick Douglass' birthday. And with that, I'm going to get off here and go on a break. Donald Sterling is a smart man. He knows exactly what he's doing. All I know is that I'm going to break. Listen, I'm going to play this song, Rise Cause, Revelations 2:2.
Cut off the lobe of his ear. And then, as the local newspaper reported it next day, last Sunday night at 11:30, a painter named Vincent Van Gogh, a native of
Yorkton, California,
appeared at number one, asked for a girl named Rachel, and handed her his ear with these words: Keep this object carefully.
Yeah. Turn that shit up, boy. Yeah, I'm motivated. Yeah, you know you done fucked up, right? You know y'all done fucked up, right? Go on, nigga. Fuck that. I struck the game like Venom, a Venom, and I'm with the pen, I'm the bit arm. Niggas, I'm not shit on. No, this my shit on. I sit on down. Hey, gangster, for real, I'm not discriminant. Niggas is feminine, suck dick for a Benjamin. The slugs at your ankle, chop down your Timberland. Who comes to mind in a debate about who really the nicest? That's when I bust a nut, eat a big lunch, and catch the itis. And boy, virus, crisis, industry bias. Our doctors refuse to acknowledge who the Christ is. But fuck y'all, sound scan, I'm priceless. Fuck them 3.5 mic, bitch, my mic sounds Midas. Been the shit since September 26th, and if life's a bitch, I'm trying to finger bang 2002. Go to your album release party, grab the mic, and boo you. Like, who you? Fuck who's who? Yeah, too true. Pride must have been Zulu. We'll pull up your tutu. Leave enemies laid out, leaking shit in his boo-boo. I am Van Gogh. My strokes, voila. No shirt on, popping my collar. Echo jeans and diamond bezels, techno marine. Touch a mic and 1 million angels sing in heaven. I ride tucking a hot 9 with 7. Drop your 2 biggest niggas like 9-11. I'm designed to merge rappers, fuck dimes to make moms wealthy. So give me 50 feet of so help me. It's a rap like tortillas to burritos. Ghetto fabulous like if Dickies make tuxedos. We those hungry little motherfuckers. Should I just rip open my chest so y'all can feel my pain? Handwritten in his own blood, quill still in my vein. Bang struggle and hustle niggas still got rain. What? Let's raise the stakes, spit it ill for the real skill. Murk out the fake, get higher. Light it up if you thugged up. Get your ones up, put your guns up. East or west, north, south. If you bout it, niggas wild out. My conversation like eternal damnation. Revelations.
It's your girl, Beatrice McLaren, author of Diaries of an Emotional Prostitute. When I'm not doing anything, I keep it locked with Smooth Drama on Blog Talk Radio. Dick Hugger. And no, he's not gay. Don't know why he got that name, but he's not gay, ladies. Lord have mercy, he not gay. Keep it locked.
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Rob Kaj, Revelations 2222. Now, I don't question why he named it 2222, because it'd be like Beatrice said, people questioning why my name is Dick Hugger when I've said it over and over again, F in word, play on words. Anyway, no play on words. You want to talk about ignorance. You know, I like to talk about ignorance and try to combat ignorance. And you see that ignorance not only has taken a foothold here, but unfortunately our influence of ignorance has spawned itself overseas, whereas over in Kenya, no, not Kenya, over in Kenya, there's the MP, Gideon Mbuvi, who's fighting for the right to wear his bling. I guess over in Kenya, the parliament over there, it's against parliament's rules to wear an overabundance of jewelry. So I guess Gideon Mbuvi, who is known for his flamboyant dressing style, he was thrown out parliament for wearing ear studs and sunglasses. And he says, hey, I represent the youth who elected me to parliament. Mr. Mbuvi, who is 35 years old, told the BBC in an interview, said, this is our generation. It is our time. And illustrating the point, he drives a Hummer like the rappers in the videos. I guess that's his thing. And he says that MPs should also be allowed to wear extras such as sunglasses and earrings as long as they wear suits. Yeah. Now, on the surface, I guess he has a right to say it. I mean, because how you look has nothing to do with how you govern, obviously. We know that you can be sharp and have on the conservative style suit and button-ups and all that other stuff in your tie, which I don't wear ties. So I don't care for them. But you know, the right to wear bling. I mean, you think that on the continent where people are starving on the whole, you want to not be flamboyant, showing off jewels. I mean, you know, we're talking about the perception of what should be important. I mean, to me, it's not even the perception that's put out there that I'm about to bling whatnot. I'm talking about the perception to the youth who are looking up to you in position of power. You're saying that the bling is important. The Shining was important. I'm thinking, like, the eating good food and having clean water and being able to educate your people so that they can come up and break the cycle of poverty is important. Kind of important a little bit. So I see that, and I'm disappointed in, like, wow. And fell for it. Overseas also, they think these rappers are so cool, and they not all that extra bling for what? You can't eat, it's just shiny rocks. We gonna talk about relevant stuff here. Sort of like right here in the U.S. of A., where Republicans and Democrats have teamed up to cut aid for the poor people. But it's not one of those things that people like to talk about. I mean, I see the shows and people talk about, well, the right wingers or this, the left wingers or that, these liberals, these conservatives, they go back and forth, but they always seem, and I don't know how many times I've stated this, they always seem to be able to cut stuff for the poor. But for some reason, they never cut foreign aid, which I call bribes. You know, foreign aid to help the foreigners. I mean, it's a well-known documented fact that none of that money ever touches the real common man in those foreign countries. It stops at the guy that you're paying who's in charge, i.e. the bribe to work for your corporate interests. I know some folks have a hard time seeing that, but, I mean, example, we just cut a whole bunch of programs all across the United States, but yet we can still send $3.075 billion in assistance to Israel. Why? I think that they can take care of themselves. They seem to be doing fine to me. But people don't look at it that way. I mean, because, you know, then folks will jump up and say, oh, you're anti-Semitic. You don't want to help Israel. No. We just had a little resolution between the United States and Mexico. Proposed deal over the trucking dispute, where now the Mexican trucks have access to American highways. And while the president, Mr. Calderon of Mexico, was here, he also got to meet with U.S. business leaders and got to speak to House Speaker John Boehner. And what they talked about? The $1.3 billion the U.S. is spending as part of the Merida Agreement, which provides materials and training to help Mexico tackle drug trafficking. Now, from all that we've seen in the news past couple years, I'm thinking that $1.3 billion, they ain't using it right. Mexico is dangerous as hell. Not that it wasn't as dangerous before, but, I mean, now they just all and out. They just shooting folks in the street. I mean, every other week there's a story that the people's heads were cut off in the street. Folks being kidnapped. I mean, common stories. And once again, a $1.3 billion going to a foreign country for foreign aid. And I say, why? If we're saying that we're broke here in the United States, why do we not keep the money here in the United States? Why do you vote to cut the industry in your tax base here in America? Eliminating jobs, and then you send the money overseas. I mean, we talking about that. If we talk about the 3.075 to Israel, 1.3 billion to Mexico, that's almost $5 billion. I'm thinking, could have used that $5 billion here. Just a thought. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe some folks think that we should be out there helping other nations with their problems, because that's what we do. We're the kinder, gentler America. I mean, hell, if we want to play the whole dictator cop role and we want to be top cop, when you talked about Libya and how their assets were frozen, I mean, why can't we be gangster and take that money and use it here? I mean, Gaddafi has countless billions of dollars in U.S. banks. And, you know, folks were coming out talking about how Beyonce and other performers were taking Gaddafi's blood money and they shouldn't take that money. Hell, he's got billions of dollars in U.S. banks here. I'm like, if you don't freeze assets in Jackie, help out your own. Spread the love to the American people. Ain't that what it's about? I mean, we don't just straight up Jackie. Just say, we're going to freeze your assets. You take the money. Help out the American people, right? I mean, we talk about being gangsters. Be gangster for the American people. What's going to happen to that money? Anybody even talking about it? Anybody even caring? I mean, you know, you've seen what was happening down in Wisconsin. Now, you move from Wisconsin, there's the union bill that went through the Ohio legislature this week. It just went straight through, no problem. And it was approved Wednesday, and it's about restricting the collective bargaining rights for public workers. And according to reports, this bill is tougher and broader than the Wisconsin bill. And it's going to affect roughly the rights of 350,000 teachers, firefighters, police officers, and other public employees. While in Wisconsin, it only affects about 175,000 workers. And it's exempt for police and firefighters. So, you know, you say, where's the justice in this? And then you start talking about, okay, you go back to the old blame game. Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm tired of hearing the blame game. I mean, the conspiracy theorist in me says, ain't no such thing as a blame game, man. They all on the same team. They not on our team. I mean, you vote these cats in. And they don't work in your interest. You vote their ass out. The election's coming back in 2012. So you should already have your strategy to get rid of these cats. I mean, you can get a Tea Party, you can get up an independent party candidate, somebody who can come in and reverse all all this bullshit that they're enacting. It makes sense to me. I mean, it's so many acts of legislature. These bills are coming out of nowhere. And they're all taking your rights. And I'm like, does anybody care? I mean, it's so bad that Madoff came out. Now, obviously, he's a funny one to talk. But Madoff comes out and is like, well, hell, the whole government is a Ponzi scheme. Which is funny. And it's not something that I can disagree with. I can't disagree with not one thing he says. I mean, he goes on to say, hey, I cheated investors out of $65 billion. He says, I'm not a horrible person. He's like, hey, you know what? It was a nightmare for me. Of course, only for me. He was saying that he was suffering because it was such a terrible burden on him. What was the burden? He had to keep that lie up. So horrible to be a billionaire and have to keep lying to stay being a billionaire. I mean, I guess I can relate, not. I mean, he just sounds like a regular wealthy guy. I'll lie and do whatever to keep stealing your money, which is what we got happening in Congress and in positions of power. They lie to keep stealing the money and keep believing the lie. Like, how many times can we keep believing these lies? I mean, we're at a point where a guy who stole money for 51 years of his life, allegedly, probably longer, he's the voice of reason. He's saying the whole government is a Ponzi scheme. And he makes sense. Think about that. The guy who stole $65 billion makes sense. And you see the government, they take your money, they tax you, but we don't get any representation for our tax money. I mean, y'all tell me where the improvement is. You vote for these cats. And they cut your job. They cut the industry off. I don't, what part of the game is that? In the name of sacrifice. We're the only ones sacrificing. I look around and they still rolling. But we not rolling. I'm sorry. I mean, we just jacked Libya. I keep saying, we just jacked Libya of their assets. Why can't that wealth be spread to the American people? I mean, if we're going to steal it, why they can't steal it and spread some love our way? Instead of firing teachers and whatnot, they padding their bank account so they can buy an extra vacation home. I mean, because when they're at the point where they're billionaires, I mean, they're set for life. Their children are set for life. And their children's children are set for life. It's vacation homes, basically. And, as the American people, what do they have to show for it? Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nada. Ohio passes this anti-union legislation, no problem. These are guys that you voted for, swept them in to bring about positive change over in Washington. I guess we can't get no more positive than killing the population, killing their hope for survival in the name of smaller government. I'm like, so now this is better governing by cutting school teachers, firefighters, and policemen? We don't need none of those. I guess. Oh. Well, on that note, we'll take another small song commercial break. We gotta take our minds off all this seriousness. So let me go to my boys, HISD, Houston Independent, 5th District. This is
erotic, sex, rap, spit, logic. Parable between hurt and my brain topic. I'm the great MC, scream the name Scott P, sounds heavenly. Rock the bed sheets, got style similar to position switching. Missionary ripping, can't touch my doggy vision. Got a leg of one, ride the beat. She likes when I speak the freak nasty see. I keep going even when the pen leaks. It drips on the sheet, so sexy, right till she reach a peak. Light them if you have more work to put in. If you can't sleep, I'm too deep. Eargasm, she get treatment for them back spasms, you know? Sex, rap, spit, logic, MacBook Pro, G4, so exotic. She's so automatic, he's so robotic. When the two come together, it sounds so melodic. Input, output, hardware, it plugs in. Mic check, 1, 2, yes, y'all, she's all in. Freak, freak, y'all, 1, 2, he falls in. Right on cue, give me bass on two. The two get it in, cause he keep her disciplined. Pull her tracks out when she poke her back out. In your window, after, before school, he use Pro Tools. Analog to digital, needle in the groove. Dialogue is minimal, feed her with a spoon. Fruity Loop cereal, kill her with a broom. Sweep her off the cheat sheet, point next to neat free. Deep, deep. Erotic, sex, rap, spit, logic. Got me standing in his out with my brush out, capturing the visuals. I let the tip dip, lather up thick, don't flinch, cause the host. We got a problem. Luckily, my stroke's magic. Gently place bristles on a canvas. Candid thoughts while making art is poetry. Use techniques to emote when the heart speaks. Freak, freak, seek something too deep to express verbally. Let our minds reach galaxies, waves, and concepts creatively. Painting pictures in the dark so vividly. The imagery we express was conceit. So what I had in mind, dip it one more time in a piece of a mix of light gray and white seats. Ooh wee. Erotic, sex, rap, spit, logic. A weekend with your girl as she dances.
tops, it's snow cold. Hula hooping in her Cheerios. Have a bowl, grab a ball, fingers in a hole. Rose strikes, no lights. Put her lips on my mic till it sounds nice. You can hear it as I comb through her eardrums. Drums on the one, glass full of lyrics. Intoxicated spirit, spirit. Spot shots of Patron got us going on to a galaxy of radios in the cosmos past the ozone. Turbo backbreaking foundation concrete. Rock hard, oh lord, check the levels, eight for treble. Renovate her walls to the sheetrock files, house calls. The weekend ends when her weekend came. Nice to freak ya.
HISB Sheet Rock off the album The District. DIST The District. All right. Oh, as we are internet online radio talk show, I think it's funny where now we talk about, you see all these commercials, 3G, 4G. This network is faster. This one is the most, the broadest. And I'm like, it's the slowest. You know that the United States is not even in the top 10 in fastest broadband in the world. As a matter of fact, we are ranked 25th in the world. I mean, and the thing is, it's got worse. In 2009, we were in 18th place. So, 2 years later, we even dropped down. We're barely in the top 25, man. You know, now how are we the most developed nation in the world, but we ain't even in the top 10? We're ranked 25th. It's like, wow. I mean, it's countries, Japan, Hong Kong, Romania, Sweden. They're all faster than us. You know, and the bad part of it is that we're declining. We're getting slower and slower while our technological inferior nation, supposedly, allegedly, they're getting faster. What's up with that? You know, I find it odd. That, not that the internet is the be all the end all, but you think that if we were it, you know, we always talk about America, this is the place everybody wants to go. They want to come here. America, the land of the free, home of the brave, and we are the leaders in everything, except for everything that's important. Shit, you know we're not. We're not in the top 10 in education. I'm like, what are we, aside from, and it's not, we're not even leading and having the most money. I mean, I think the only advantage we have, really, and that's under dispute, is we have the most atomic bombs. I think that may be it. We may have the most bullets in the world also. Depending on whether or not you want to go and the Chinese have guns and bullets. But I make it a safe bet that we probably have more bullets than them. And that's about it. And so when you see, and I've talked about this before, where the education system is being cut when we're already not achieving. So instead of trying to help and try to reshape, and I know there are some people who will argue that, well, you can't throw money at the problem, and I agree. Money is not necessarily the problem as far as the teaching goes. I mean, obviously the teachers being able to teach effectively, but the money when it comes to actually having teachers kind of helps. The money to have after-school programs and other things that keep kids' minds on a discipline, a plan of action, something to do, as opposed to having nothing to do but to walk in the streets. I don't mind is devil's workshop, as somebody smarter than me once said a few thousand times. And seems to be that's what we looking at. So these trends where we're left on everything. Not surprising. I just find it funny. We're not in the top 10. Nothing. But we do seem to, well, not us. There seems to be progress going on across the water. There's a breakthrough in lung cancer, announced by French doctors. They said these French doctors, they made a breakthrough in the treatment of lung cancer. If it was a medical team over in Bobigny Hospital in Paris, which removed the patient's cancerous growth and then gave him an artificial airway, or they call a bronchus. This bronchus was made from a reconstituted aorta, which is the heart. And the treatment was started in 2009, and it avoided the complete removal of the patient's lungs. So now we're talking about this guy who was 78, said to be fit and well, 16 months after the surgery. So all you smokers out there, rejoice. Buy you a couple extra packs. You go to France and they can reconstitute your aorta and make you a lung also to get rid of the cancer that you are growing in your lungs right now. Now, I'm not trying to make light of it, but, I mean, we know that's pretty much the end game in the cigarette game. I mean, that's what it is. You develop cancer, or you get a hole in your throat. You have to talk through a microphone, and you develop some kind of cancer. And it's not good. So I guess to all those folks who purposely put yourself in that position, rejoice. Go out and buy your extra pack, and I don't know where the hell you can smoke here in the United States, but wherever you can, light it up. Make it happen. There's a breakthrough, and I'm sure for $200,000 to $500,000 here in the United States when it finally gets here, you too can get you a reconstituted lung. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make funny. I just think, you know, the whole smoking thing, I've never understood it. I've never understood it. I'm not trying to make light of it. I mean, obviously, there's serious addiction, and I wish that folks wouldn't be caught up in that. I'd rather be addicted to something else. Cancer is no joke. But, okay, for you conspiracy theorists out there like myself, there's a VeriChip, which is the chip that's going to be placed underneath your skin. And the scanner will read the chip, and it enables and accepts the patient's medical history. And, of course, the company says that the chips are implanted voluntarily, usually in seniors who can no longer speak well enough to communicate. And I'm sure it won't get filtered down to everyday society, even though they're supposedly in 90 days, federal law, the Real ID Act of 2005, where you will be required by federal law to carry a national ID card. We know there's the folks who talk about the chip, the mark of the beast, and I've talked about this before, and I'd be curious to see how this all shakes out. I mean, you know, people take this stuff really seriously. When they talk about the mark of the beast, whatnot. I myself take that seriously, but there was something that happened a few weeks back that I think is even more serious. There's a leak over in Sellafield, which is over in the UK. It was spotted January 23rd, 2009. Say it was leaking for a couple of years, but it was contained within the site, so there's no issue. Now, they said that members of the public were not put at risk if they did not have access to the Sellafield site, because obviously you can contain radiation inside a building, no problem. And if you open up the door, no problem. It'll stay in. It won't go out. No problem. It was the leak of a radioactive liquid in the form of a steady drip. Yeah. For a whole year and a half. And they just happened to spot it when the prime minister visited the site. Now, real quick, for me, that's a huge issue because they say that that's no problem, but these kind of things happen all the time. I mean, we have nuclear power plants spread out all over the nation, and every now and again, they're by the water. We drink that water. We breathe that air. I mean, there was a report that dirty air causes more heart attacks than cocaine. So, not to be a gloomy reporter, but there are a lot of things that we need to be vigilant of. And this is why we as a people got to stand up and start taking charge of our destiny by, one, exercising your right and your power that you see on TV. You got to do that here. On that note, I want to thank you all for listening. Big Hugger, Smooth Drama. I'll see y'all next smooth place, next smooth day. Peace. Thank you.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.